good morning. How's everyone this morning? Oh, that wasn't as good a response. How's everybody this morning? Good. We welcome you to College Park Baptist. A few announcements we'd like to make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way that we do this is the pew pads that you'll find on every pew. We invite members and guests to fill this out. The way we do that, just write your name down, give us any contact information you choose, and then also have a place for the check boxes to kind of give us a little more information about you. We appreciate members and guests filling this out. We ask you to send it down to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Once it gets to the end, if you could send it back where it got started, that would be very helpful for us. Members, this opportunity to find the name of a guest that's on your pew and introduce yourself at the end of the service. We do ask, once that pew pad gets back to that first person, if you could rip out the pages that were used today, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. Many things happening in the life of our church, and we have listed those for upcoming events, as well as opportunities for the week. I want you to make note of those things. A couple of things I'll draw your attention to. We are in the middle of primary basketball. That is our younger kids instructional league for 4 years old through third grade. We've had 2 weeks so far, and we will continue this Thursday at 6:30. Other things listed here. You'll see one I want to make special note of is our dinner and a show. And we have a couple special guests. They're going to come and kind of tell you a little bit about the dinner and show. So, Cameron, Claudia, come on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so excited. My name is Claudia Osley, and I'm here this morning to get you excited about our dinner and a show coming up this March. The money we raise will go toward future mission trips. We had great success with the last dinner and show back in 2008. We had great food and a great show. We are preparing right now for a great meal and great show. If you want to come and see our youth perform on March 13th, you will need a ticket. That's when I come in. You can find any youth, or you can see me after worship. I'll be the one holding the sign right there. It says, tickets for sale. So, I guess I'll see you then.
Ashton, are you excited? Yeah, okay. Dinner and a show. It is a big event. We've had one a few years ago. We're going to have another one. And our young people will be headed on an international mission trip next year. And so all the proceeds will go to that, and it's going to be a fun night that you will not want to miss. There are two shows, as they said, and I'm excited about what's going to happen March 12th and 13th. All right. Any other announcements? Anything? Anything?
Oh.
No youth choir, no channels, and bells at 4. And there's a little football game, I think, tonight. So they're making those adjustments. Anything else? All right. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They want to give something to you. If you're a guest, we appreciate you filling out the pew pad. Just raise your hand if you're a guest. Our ushers will recognize you, give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you will find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, the newsletter and a little bit of the story of College Park. Just a little introduction to our body of faith here at College Park. And we're thankful for your presence. And we pray this time of worship will be a special blessing to you. Last night, some of our youth went to Greensboro. And we got in at midnight, so I'm excited that most of them are here this morning. There were 21,000 people in the Coliseum. And it was a large Winter Jam is a concert that's happened last several years, and it goes around to about 50 different places and lots of different Christian artists. And it was amazing. for 21,000 people to be in the same building. Once we finally got our seats, it took us about an hour to find our seats. We were on the back row on the upper deck behind the band. But once we got settled, and once everybody was singing and enjoying the music and time together of worship, it was powerful to be in that place. But it was only just the beginning, just a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. I cannot imagine what God has in store for those who love Him. I'm ready. I mean, not tomorrow, but I'm ready. I am ready that when God calls me home to worship for eternity, that's what we get to do right now. We can't sit in our pews and watch that happen. If you have been saved by the Son of God, you have to be involved in worship. You have to be thankful for what He has done for us. So everything we sing, everything we pray, everything we do in this time of worship, may we do it for all of His glory and with all of our might. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, together as one voice, we lift up our worship to You. Father, we could come into this place and just be the same old thing that we've done for weeks and months and years. But You are the everlasting God. You are new every day. You give us gifts every day. And so we worship You this day with everything that we have, because we know what we have is not from ourselves. It is from You. And so we give You glory. We give You praise. We give You honor. May this time of worship be Yours and Yours alone, in Jesus' name.
Mercy, have mercy.
Kith, come on down. Come on down. All right. How's everybody doing? Can you sit up for me? All right. Hey, Kendall, come on, sweetie. Oh, what is this? It's a what? A kindness ruler. I need one bigger than this. Nobody got it. Okay. All right. So what is this for? Cool. What did you learn? That's right. Well, this just kind of threw out my children's sermon. Let's move on with kindness. So this is a pretty cool thing. Where are you going to put? Does everybody get one this morning? Did some of you get one? And the older kids got one? Yeah. What are you going to do with it? Okay. Well, I want to tell you about, well, measure something. Well, I got something here on my phone. Ooh, yeah, that would get you excited. Okay. Let's see. And I'm going to, sometimes, what do people use phones for?
Calling people.
Calling people? Text people? Okay. But did you know it could also be a flashlight?
Yeah.
Look, it's like turn the flashlight on, right?
Here it comes.
Right, yep. And it also can be a strobe light. Strobe light, that's pretty good.
What is that?
It can be a game light. Last night at the concert, everybody had their phones out doing this. That was kind of fun. And then light. I got to thinking about light. It's kind of like kindness. And I found, well, Pastor Raymond is going to talk in a little while about a lighthouse. And it got me thinking about a very special lighthouse. Do you know what a lighthouse is?
Yeah.
Okay. Big, tall thing. It has light at the top, and the light goes round and round, right?
It helps the boat sometimes at night.
Yeah.
It helps boats.
Right. Have you ever been in a really dark room? Do you like it when you find a light and the light, you get to switch the light on, you have a flashlight or something? Does that make you feel a lot better?
No. I like it when it's dark time because I can, like, spy on people and get out the window.
But how, get out the window?
Yeah.
Bless your mom's heart. I don't really like the dark. I don't really like the dark. I am a scaredy cat. You are right about that. And I remember when I was, there's a very special lighthouse right here. Y'all see that?
That is a big lighthouse.
That's a big lighthouse. This lighthouse used to be the second brightest light in the world. And do you know where this is? You know where? This is near Wilmington. Wilmington's at the beach, right? That's where a lighthouse is, right? No, this one right here is near Wilmington, and it's very special. Let me tell you why. It's a very special lighthouse because it is right near a place called Caswell. Caswell, yep. Caswell is a place that I went, and y'all have met Miss Jennifer, right? Yep. I met Miss Jennifer at Caswell. In fact, that's where we met, and we eventually got married. And, yeah, I believe I'm married. How about that? Yeah. You know what? Sometimes I think about at Caswell, and I think about how Jennifer, Miss Jennifer, she in a lot of ways was pretty special. And I was not having the best time when I met her. And when I met her, she changed everything. She was a big old light in my life. It was like I was in the dark a little bit. And when I met her, she turned the light on. She was used by God to show me how much he loves me. I love her very much because she was a light. She got me out of the dark. Sometimes we have those people in our lives, right? We have those people that turn on the light when we're scared. They come in and they hug us and they hold us and tell us everything's going to be all right. You need to be that kind of person. You need to be those, just like this. You need to be that person that shows light or kindness to people. Wherever you go, you show kindness to people. That is showing God's light.
What's so special about that lighthouse?
Because it's special to me and Miss Jennifer. And she reminds me of how much God loves me. And that reminds me how much God loves you. All right? I want you to listen to Pastor Raymond as he talks about the lighthouse and how important the light is. Okay? Let's pray together. God, we love you. And we thank you for the light of the world, Jesus, who shows us how to be kind to one another, who shares his light with us. When sometimes we're scared, we're afraid, and we're not sure where to go, he shows us the way, just like these lighthouses. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seat now.
As we share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture, I'll be reading from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning at verse 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. This is from Isaiah 42. Here's my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the peoples and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let's pray together.
Dear Lord, thank you for those beautiful words offered by our choir and worship and prayer to you. Day by day, Lord. Day by day, you sustain us. You love us. You remember us. You redeem our days, even though we are imperfect. And you make us perfect in your love, Lord. And we thank you, we honor you in worship this morning. What a blessing to be in your house. What a blessing to be here to share in this hour of worship. A blessing that's from you and a blessing that is for you. Lord, thank you for loving us on days that we may not give you our best. On days that we may say you're our top priority, but we live in a way that you're our tenth. Thank you for loving us, Lord, on days that we just don't even take time to remember you or honor you at all. Lord, but the light is powerful, and we as your people want to see the light. We want to walk in the light, and we want to be the light. Lord, please help us to do that. Please help us today to seek you, to walk with you, to know you, and to share your love with other people. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. The last week and the days that made up the last week may not have been easy for us. We struggled in different ways. Maybe some things happened this week, Lord, that were the opposite of what we were hoping would happen. Maybe we got some bad news. Maybe we struggled with a relationship. Maybe the hopes and dreams that we had for the days of this past week did not come true. But today, on the first day of this new week, you are still here. We are still your children. And your promises remain true to us. Help us to grab onto that, Lord, to maintain the hope and faith and trust in you that you've blessed us with the opportunity to have. Lord, love us. Keep remembering us, Lord. Help draw us closer to you. We want to take hold of the promise, Lord, and we're imperfect. And sometimes we're selfish and lazy, but we want to take hold of that promise. We need your help. Lord, keep shining your light on us. Give us the strength and the wisdom this week to walk toward the light, to walk in the light, and to be the light for you. We love you, Lord. And it is a blessing to honor you in worship today. Amen.
Thank you. Before we pray, I would like to say that some 40-plus years ago, Bob and I moved here to Winston-Salem with the intent of visiting all these churches before we found the church for us. We came to College Park the first Sunday because it was close by home, and we decided that this was the place to visit. We were so impressed with our young department, the little kids. At that time, we just had the one son, and he just enjoyed Sunday school so much. The next Sunday, we decided to come back, and some 40-something years, here we are. We've never visited another place. I'm so thankful that we have had this opportunity to worship at College Park. We have been so blessed with so many people, and many of you are out there in the congregation today who have worked with our youth through the years, and it has truly been a blessing. Jeff mentioned the basketball practice a while ago. We, too, are blessed in the fact that our granddaughter has the opportunity to come up through some of the same things that our kids did in the youth department. Catherine is 5, will soon be 6 years old, came to basketball practice the first time last Thursday night. When we asked her how practice went, she said it was great. She made 2 baskets and a slam dunk. So we do appreciate everyone who is contributing to that program as well as many others in this church. We truly have been blessed. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we pause at this time of day to thank you for all of your many blessings. You have blessed us so richly, and we know that we deserve nothing. We know that everything good comes from you. We also know that you call each of us to be the light into this earth. And we know that you call us to go, to tell, and to do. And we ask your forgiveness for the times that we fail you in this way. Lord, we thank you for the staff of this church. We thank you for your love and care, and most of all, for your sending your son so that each of us may have eternal life. Bless the gift and the giver at this time, and may it be used to honor your kingdom. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
want to invite you to take your Bible. We're going to be reading a little bit this morning from Matthew chapter 5. It's a familiar passage, and you've probably heard it read in larger context, the Sermon of the Mount, and probably quoted, probably learned some of these verses, memorized a few of them as a child or maybe even as an adult. But we're going to go back and read part of it. The part we're going to begin with comes after all the blessings. You know, the blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, all of those blessings. Then Jesus continues on, and he starts talking about salt and light and the fulfillment of the law and some of those things. And that's where we're going to be reading from this morning. So we'll pick up in verse 13 and read down through verse 20 from Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Notice what it did not say. It did not say they will see your good deeds and praise you. Praise your Father in heaven. Verse 17, he continues, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Interesting, familiar passage. In his book, Behold, I Do a New Thing, Transforming Communities of Faith, Kirk Hathaway writes, and he speaks of a term called goal displacement. And in those pages, specifically pages 7 through 10, he talks about goal displacement. Let me tell you what he means by that. Goal displacement is a process by which the primary mission of an organization is replaced by operative goals that have little, if anything, to do with the organization's original reason for being. It often happens that what an organization does has little to do with its true purpose. I think the point that he makes in here is well illustrated by a modern parable. It's called the Parable of the Lighthouse, and I want to read it to you. In a quaint little seaside village, a lighthouse was built to be a life-saving station. Its purpose was to warn sailors at sea in the unfortunate event of a shipwreck when ships didn't heed or could not see its warning because of dense fog. It was also to rescue those who crashed upon the rocks. Well, as time went by, there weren't many ships that needed its life-saving services, so the little lighthouse devoted less and less energy to lighthouse activities. It soon became nothing more than a social gathering place for the village. Villagers would drop by to chat with the lighthouse keeper. On Friday and Saturdays, they would gather and play rook, or maybe strike up a band and have a dance. And on occasion, they would hold an ugliest dog in the village contest. Before long, everyone had forgotten what the lighthouse initial purpose really was: to be a life-saving station to sailors at sea. And so, the light in the tower that gave the lighthouse its identity was allowed to slowly burn out. Then, when a ship crashed upon the rocks for a lack of warning light, the villagers were not prepared at all for the rescue. The lighthouse had become a place to have fun. But we all know that having fun is not what lighthouses are built for, don't we? And strictly speaking, neither are churches. Now, although we have fun at church, I have fun at church. Do you have fun at church? Yeah. Although we have fun at church, and we should have fun at church, we know in our hearts that having fun is not the primary purpose for the church, right? Hadaway, in his book a little bit later on, gives us a little bit more insight. He said, it's so easy for a congregation to act like what it is not, parentheses, a social club, that it sometimes forgets what it is, parentheses, a church. A church as club or clan must be reminded of its true purpose, business. It's not a social club, but a religious organization, a community of faith that helps members have communion with God. It's a place where people have personal transformation. They wake up to the reality of God's realm and begin to grow in knowledge and understanding in a vocational, incarnational life. It is not a place where people are left unchanged and self-satisfied. The purpose of the church is to be a light. The purpose of the church is to make disciples. In Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, which I highly recommend for every believer, he says, the true joy of the Christian life belongs to the poor who have no security, no possessions to call their own, not even a foot of earth to call their home. No earthly society can claim their allegiance. And that sounds a little harsh, but like the lighthouse, the church has a joy-filled purpose and calling. And every now and then, it's good for us to revisit what our real purpose is, because occasionally, churches forget. And the reason churches forget is because church is made up of people. And people sometimes forget. Yes, we do. Jason read a passage from Isaiah chapter 42. And in that passage, the Hebrew prophet Isaiah instilled a vision. He instilled a vision that the primary purpose of God's people should be a light unto the nations. Matter of fact, in verse 6, if you go and you read Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, in verse 6 it reads, I have provided you as a lighthouse to the nations. You see, Isaiah was speaking to the children of Israel at a critical time in their history. There was political uncertainty. There were changes occurring rapidly and almost without warning in the world as they knew it. And there was a deep spiritual soul searching. Does that sound familiar? Sound like any time we know? Yeah. Yeah, it applies today as well. But with all these changes that were presented to the children of Israel, there was also a wonderful opportunity. And Isaiah is reminding them that they should be light to the nations by sharing the message of God, working for justice, helping those who needed hope, helping those who needed to know that God loved them, that God had a plan for them. All of these things that we talk about in church, and the idea is, let them know they have a God who cares about them deeply. Shed light into the darkness. And give hope to wandering, suffering humanity. So it's not surprising, given Isaiah's message of light to the nations, it's not surprising that Jesus drew from that imagery when he exhorted his followers to be the light of the world. Or as Peterson translates, the lighthouse. A lighthouse. Through our personal, through our collective witness in the community, through good works, good deeds, as he says, good deeds so that God can be glorified, through transformational worship, which is why we're here this morning. You should not leave the same as you came. Transformational worship. Through all of these things, the light of Jesus is cast forth in our own personal lives, as well as in the collective light of this lighthouse on the corner of Polo and Ransom Road. I'm reminded of a sign that is said to have been on a lamp outside Albert Schweitzer's Jungle Hospital in Africa. The sign said, "Here in whatever hour you come, you will find light and help and human kindness." Goes right along with what the children were talking about this morning. Here in whatever hour you come, you will find light and help and human kindness. Wouldn't be a bad sign to have out back. John Winthrop was a Puritan preacher. And as he is coming to America, crossing the Atlantic Ocean with a group of Puritan pilgrims, if you will, as they crossed over, he preached a sermon to them. He was trying to prepare them for what they would face in a new land, a lot of unknowns. And the title of the sermon, as we have assigned it after the fact, so to speak, was "A Model of Christian Charity." And in the sermon, he had a little quote which was passed down from generation to generation. He said, "We must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill." Well, that's quite scriptural. You know, we've just read that from Matthew chapter 5. In other words, we are to consider we are to be a light unto the world. As I was kind of reading through this and thinking all this old imagery of lighthouse and what it means for us personally and corporately, my mind kind of went back to the whole Cape Hatteras lighthouse deal. You remember that? A number of years ago, Cape Hatteras lighthouse is out on the Outer Banks. And as you know, the Outer Banks is called the graveyard of the Atlantic because there's so many wrecks or ship wrecks there. And several years back, they noticed they had a problem. Had a problem with this lighthouse. At the bottom of the lighthouse, the shore had eroded to the point where the waves were actually kind of lapping up against the bottom of the lighthouse. And they knew that if they allowed that to continue, it would destroy the foundation of the lighthouse. So what'd they do? They moved it. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the film of it, but it was a remarkable undertaking. I remember watching the news when they were showing it, and they say, "And you can see it moving," and you're sitting there staring at the screen going, "Why? It's not moving." But if you watch real carefully, it was moving ever so slowly. And they moved that lighthouse intact a half a mile toward land. A half a mile. And now it stands once again fulfilling its purpose, guiding light, warning ships that are coming that direction. The whole move began June 5th, 1999. And it was the following summer after the move that we took our youth, who were youth at the time, who are now fine, upstanding young men and women who are contributing members of society in this community of faith. Well, they are. They are. Okay. Most of them, yeah. Well, if we can take that ratio, we'll take that. Most of them are, indeed. And we were there, and we were gathered around the theme of light. And Dr. Edwards' son, Brian, was there, and he took us on a tour of all the lighthouses along the Outer Banks, and he also took us on a trip to the rescue station. And there we heard stories. You see, it wasn't just sightseeing. It was a lesson for our youth in what happens when we are not light to a dark world. And it was also a lesson to our youth on what happens when we are light to our world. Well, all of this, Hathaway's book, his comments, Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, Isaiah's comment, all of these things kind of lead us to a central point, I believe. All of this could be a parable of sorts of what we know of the church today. What we know and love about the church today. In the past few years, I've come to realize that being the church in today's world is a lot more difficult than it was, say, even 20 years ago. Many congregations are declining in membership. Many of them have had to close their doors. Small congregations just simply cannot afford to keep their doors open, so they're selling their property. You know, the cost of keeping them open is just too great. And for many people in America, if you talk to them, talk to the person on the street, talk to the people at work, the traditional church has become irrelevant. Now, notice I didn't say worship has become irrelevant or this particular style of worship has become irrelevant. That really isn't the issue. Because as you talk to people, and I do, people who don't go to church, who don't want anything to do with church, I say, well, is it the style of worship? And they just look at you like, are you kidding? For most people, it is the fact that church has become irrelevant. Not the style. It's church in general. And that's an indictment upon us. Because the God that we serve evidently is not evidenced in our life enough to be relevant. And so I got to thinking about that. That's a hard pill to swallow. Now, granted, there are those to which the style of worship, those type of things, that's a good point. I mean, that's relevant for them. But for many people, church in general, they want nothing to do with institutionalized church. Nothing to do. It has no relevance for them whatsoever. So given that fact, there is a fair amount of weight riding on the decisions that church leaders make. And when I say leaders, I'm not just talking about staff. I'm talking about all of us. If you look on the back of your bulletin, it says ministers, all believers. That's on purpose. We're all ministers. We are all called to be leaders in our congregation, to be leaders in our church. There's a lot of weight on the decisions that we make. It's important that our churches have leadership that can help us to navigate the challenges of the future, to be proactive, to look down the road. See, what is it God is leading us to do? What methodology needs to change in order that the message continues to be relevant? How can we speak to the next generation the timeless truths of God's Word? How can we do it? I believe this is the first anniversary of the recreation service, 9 o'clock service. And I believe that decision a year ago, actually a little bit longer than a year ago, the decision to begin that service grew out of a realization that we as a church did need to offer more in terms of diverse style of worship. That was one thing we were constantly hearing. And I am so grateful to this congregation that you're brave enough to step out and support that. I really am. I'm very grateful for your support, your calls, your encouragement. Whether you attended or not, you've been supportive and asking how can you help. And I am so grateful for that. You know, we constantly look at how we can make the good news of Jesus Christ relevant, not just to this culture, but all around the world. How do we do that? And my prayer is that we as a church would never stop asking that question. How can we be the lighthouse at this corner that God has established us to be? How do we keep the light burning bright for Jesus Christ? We know that our own personal lives are a reflection, right? We're not the light. We are a reflection, both personally and corporately. And we must keep asking our question, what is our God-given purpose? How do we have discernment, Lord, to do your will? Chart the course of the future. Lord, show us through your Spirit who we are to be, where we are to go. That's my prayer for us. Let's pray and ask for Father's help. Gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to be together and worship together, to learn together. Father, we pray that as we seek to do your will and seek to follow what your Spirit leads us to do, that we would be faithful, not just in our own personal lives, but corporately as a body of believers. Father, we thank you for the resources that you've blessed us with, the people, the spirit of the people, the warm community, the warm fellowship. But Father, help us to remember that our primary focus is to be salt and light. Father, give us strength, give us courage, give us boldness as we go in your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity. In order to be salt and light, you need to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you can receive that power by a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to sing in just a moment. I invite you to come. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus. If you don't want to come this morning, that's okay. Call me sometime this week. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, well, I am a believer, but I really haven't been letting my light shine like I should. You know, I haven't been the reflection of Jesus' light that I really need to be. You can certainly pray where you are, or you can come here to the front. The altar will be open. If you're here this morning, you say, I'd like to be a part of this congregation in a little bit more formal sense. I'd like to be a member of College Park Baptist Church. There are many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Before you leave today, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon, warm fellowship together. Let's pray as we go. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings of today, the warmth of this fellowship. Father, we pray that that warmth would spread into this community as we go and as we're faithful. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.